Sears Holding is doing what it can to try and stay alive. The parent company of Sears and Kmart on Tuesday agreed to consider a revised takeover offer from Chairman Eddie Lampert. This could prevent the 126-year-old department store operator from slipping into a graveyard that has swallowed up so many other retailers. Before Lampert's new offer, Sears was ready to move forward with plans for a total liquidation auction on Monday. If the deal on the table works out, it could avoid one of the biggest bankruptcies ever to rock the retail world.
Annoyed by that backseat driver in your car? Well, now you can expect to have the car keep an eye on you as well. As automakers develop self-driving technology, they're also putting sensors inside the car to make sure the driver isn't asleep at the wheel or watching a movie. And at the Las Vegas Tech Show CES this week, there's an explosion of companies showing off how they can watch you in your car.
Warner Brothers and Mattel announced Tuesday they are partnering to make the first ever live-action Barbie film. The Barbie doll, launched 60 years ago, has changed with time. Critics say her original unrealistic dimensions promoted unhealthy body ideals among many young girls. Sales of the doll began dropping in 2014.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It's January 10th and 5:10 in the morning. Thanks for being here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. Lots to cover this morning. You heard some of it there in the opening montage. We'll have the latest on Sears in just a few seconds here. It's also Thought Leader Thursday. Rod Murray will be here from Associated Bank. He's the Chicago market president. Some cool digital trends in banking, both from business to business and consumers point of view that will be interesting to discuss with Rod this morning. And we'll bring him in momentarily. A little bit later in the program, a little bit on branding this year, where customer service appears to be one of the hot new trends, believe it or not, in brand building. Proactive customer service, even hotter. Free Range Brands author Nicole Ertis will be with us at about 5:40 this morning to talk about brand strategies and trends. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk with futures pointing toward opening losses at the bell a little bit later this morning on Wall Street. Dow futures are off nearly a half a percent this morning, down 113 points. NASDAQ futures off about a half a percent. Same story over at the NASDAQ. The opening bell will ring after a fourth straight day of gains in volatile trading on Wall Street. Markets trimmed some of their gains after President Trump yesterday walked out of a meeting with top Democrats over the partial government shutdown. The Dow Jones Industrials gained about 91 points at the end of the day. The NASDAQ up about 60 points. The S&P gained about 11 points on the day. This morning in Europe, markets are moving negative now. The FTSE in London has moved a fraction lower. In Germany, markets are lower by about a quarter percent, and in France by about a half a percent. And in Asia, markets are mixed, with the Nikkei off nearly a percent and a quarter, down 263 points. But the Hang Seng is up about 59 points. And oil is trading at $51.95 a barrel, which is up almost three quarters of a percent, 41 cents. The latest on Sears this morning, Eddie Lampert says he's serious about saving the company from complete liquidation. So serious, in fact, that he submitted a revised bid of about $5 billion along with the required $120 million deposit to keep the 128-year company alive. In the bid, Lampert agreed to assume tax and vendor bills that Sears has incurred since filing for bankruptcy in October. Lambert's first bid to save the company was $4.4 billion, and it was rejected by a bankruptcy court and the company. In the new bid, Lambert says they will save up to 50,000 jobs. JCPenney plans to close at least three stores because of weak holiday sales. The struggling retailer reported a 3.5% same-store sales decline for the 9 weeks ending January 5th. The company says the closures will begin this spring as it continues to evaluate which stores may not be reaching their financial targets. Market analysts say JCPenney will likely need to close more than 100 stores to cut its losses. And some Federal Reserve policymakers apparently wanted to hold off on that December rate hike The minutes of the meeting released yesterday from last month's FOMC meeting show several officials expressed concerns about the lack of inflation. The FOMC voted unanimously to raise interest rates by a quarter point to a range of 2.25% to 2.5%. Officials at the meeting agreed the central bank can afford to be patient about future rate hikes. The Fed's next meeting is scheduled for January 29th through the 30th. It's Thought Leader Thursday on the opening bell. Rod Murray is here. He's the Chicago Market President at Associated Bank. Talk about some of the trends from last year moving into this year in the banking industry, both business to business and consumer. Rod, good morning. Welcome back to the opening bell. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Steve.
It's good to see you back at it for the year. I know a lot of different institutions and news organizations and people that write about your world have their New Year's resolutions and lists of the big things for 2019. I thought we'd spend a little time talking about big ideas for 2019. And this sort of stems from an article from American Banker. But this notion that there are going to be some big things that happened this year in 2019, what would you count among some of those, do you think?
Well, continued innovation is the constant theme on how do you attract today's consumer, tomorrow's consumer, how do you keep up with the digital side of banking, digital media, what is it that you're going to do for real-time payments? It's money movement is constantly changing, attacking and getting to your client and making sure that they are getting the latest and greatest on how to run their businesses or their personal lives is a constant challenge that the banks have to keep up with.
And also, I mean, just from your world, it's about making some money too. I mean, you're in business to be a money-making entity. How does that shake out? Is it better interest rates? Is it overdraft fees? What would be on the list there?
Sure. I mean, the changes in the Fed rate over the last, last 12 months plus has changed margins a little bit. But specifically to the American Banker articles you're referring to, one of the things they talk about is overdraft fees, and banks can't rely on that forever. You know, it's a $15 billion industry. And one, there's competition for accounts that are overdraft fee-less. Mm-hmm. But two, eventually you're going to have real-time payments. I mean, that's a big thing we talk about on the business side of things. But at some point, it's going to be P2P, person-to-person on that. That will eliminate, overdrafts.
Yeah. And we'll get into that because I think that's an important big idea for this year. But this the overdraft thing, this American Banker article talked about how much some of the banks make from this. I was kind of blown away that J.P. Morgan in 2017 collected nearly $1.8 billion in revenue from overdraft fees.
Right.
So it's a moneymaker.
It is a moneymaker, and it's something that the banks, big and small, aren't going to quickly run away from, and that's going to have to be some kind of a tail on that because it is such a fee generator. However, it's something you have to look to the future on. How do you augment that? How do you provide services that maybe look at the behaviors of your clients that keep them in your bank, keep them using the banking services versus non-banks, fintechs, et cetera? That's what I think the banks, big or small, are going to have to compete with is how do you replace that fee income with other business?
Yeah. The last thing you want to do is to have a customer leave your bank for one of those other places that are fee-less, right?
Correct. A customer is so hard to gain. The acquisition cost of any client, whether it's banking or any business, is incredibly steep. So losing a client, losing a customer is something that the replacement cost is significantly more than, even what you lost, because you've lost that business, plus then you have to replace them by marketing or attaining a new client.
Walk us through the real-time payments thing again. How does that work in your world? How has it changed from year to year?
Sure. So, and the rest of the world, especially Europe, is probably ahead of us here in the United States. Not probably, they are on that. When you're, I'll use an analogy, you're at the cash register, right, that says, boy, I think I'm getting paid. I have this many checks that maybe or ACHs or automatic withdrawals coming, playing the float, playing when things actually hit your account. Real-time payment says this is exactly how much money you have. And then across the aisle, whoever you're paying, this is exactly what you're going to get. And you're going to get it because it's all on a real-time basis. Mm-hmm. The issue with it is getting the technology behind it so that all of the different agencies and the different not just regulatory agencies, but the different money movers are all talking the same language. That's still the issue that's at play.
It doesn't necessarily take the banks out of that process, though, right? And of course, we talked about Venmo and some of these other places that you can go and sign up for those services. This is something the banks do too. So you're still in there, right?
Right. The banks are still a part of it. It's whether they build it themselves or they're partnering with a third party. The banks are still going to be a part of the process.
Can you make money with those? With that?
So I think that you. I don't know if you make money, Steve, as much as you keep money from walking out the door.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about something, and I know this is one of the other big things. We've been talking a lot about how people have consumer debt. A lot of people spend on their credit cards for the holidays as well. One of the things, big ideas of this year is building a safety net for consumer debt when that bubble pops, if you even want to call it a bubble. What are we talking about there, and how does the bank get involved in something like that?
Yeah, so you stress test on what happens under different scenarios. So you see what your if a crash happens like 08, what does that do to me? Am I set up for it? What is the financial impact? You also manage by limits. So there are, I might want X amount in a certain product or in a certain liability that I'm going to say, this is the max I'm going to do. It's the type of product that is being sold. So when they talk about the safety net, it's just knowing what your absolute downside could be. And what do you do to protect yourself to not be blindsided if it ever should hit.
And from the consumer standpoint, does that mean offering consumers more debt consolidation, better interest rates on credit cards or better credit card interest rates?
Right. That's what a lot of banks do is when they see that and whether they're writing programs or algorithms to look at that on what might be higher risk profiles, often they do refer people to a third-party debt consolidator, which can work because it consolidates everything and puts it on a payment process. The issue is whether or not the either the credit cards or whatever the debt instrument was that got them there is closed off, because if you just take on one piece of debt but the other is still there, you've just aggregated the problem.
I know we've talked about this too before, and this sort of goes along with that real-time banking is sort of giving customers more control over their financial data. From my standpoint, I think I have control over mine. I can go on and see just about anything from my banking account. What more control, what more data would we be able to see?
I think that what they're talking about in that article and in general is talking about the data that's shared. You know, what you want shared, what you don't want shared. You know, as kind of an offshoot to that, it's opting in or opting out. It's how does your app or your electronic, whether it's, again, bank or anything that you're dealing with, how do they talk to you and how they communicate with you on what data you have being shared out? And there might be advantages to it or disadvantages. I know when I sign up for something, the first thing I get is, do I want to have opt-in or opt-out for push notifications? I always opt out. Well, if you're talking about a bank or banking or something else that maybe you've opted out for that would have pushed you saying, hey, my account's down to $20,
right.
That might be something you want to look at, then now you've kind of just hurt yourself. So how do you earn the right to talk to your client then and communicate appropriately?
Yeah, and part of that too, I think, is having something less than the 50-page consumer rights notice or the, how when you sign up for one of those apps, how you get the user rights and responsibilities. It's a lot and it's complicated, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I will admit, if you're taking the time to read that, more power, and I encourage, and we should all do that, but I don't always do it. And it's something that is voluminous, and people mostly just go, and if they want to move on, they quickly check the box and say, I agree.
One of the interesting things as we talk about all of this technology is sort of keeping that people aspect alive. And I know we've had this conversation before, and this article talks about thinking outside the app, as it were, keeping those people relations alive and well. That's sort of becoming more and more difficult, isn't it?
It is. It's, as a somebody in my 50s here, it's something that I still like to talk to people. You know, today's generation, tomorrow's generation, it's not something that is feasible going forward that API or AI is something that is taking the place. So you still have to have that somewhere. I mean, it's still, to me, the crux of customer service, but it's something that's becoming an art that is few and far between.
I've heard it described as earning the right to talk to people. And I think you mentioned that actually earlier. You referred to that. Earning that right to talk to people means doing some work.
Right. And it means on both sides.
Yeah.
That, you know, the customer or the client should be able to have a live voice to try to find when they want, or if they want to use technology, they have to have that too. The tough thing is for the company that's providing is the balance, you know, efficiency and do you pay somebody to sit there who may or may not be answering a phone? It's all about the efficiency of each side of the equation.
Right. You mentioned the push notification part of this, but another interesting thing is, you know, let's say customer A has just decided they don't want to do full digital banking right now. And in some cases, that's the last time they hear about that option. The idea of going back to that customer 6 months down the road and maybe reintroducing those ideas or those services, is that something banks need to do more of?
Absolutely. Banks and all companies, but banks for sure, because you do it, you have this onboarding process. And it's a ton of information, as you had mentioned, and then you may forget about, you know, step number 10 along the way when you use a certain provision or a certain application. So I think that having smart apps or apps that check your behavior, that guide you along the way, that is the way to really communicate, is saying, hey, I just saw that you did this. This is how, do you want to do this next step? As opposed to doing it all in the onboarding process where you have to remember something that you might not use for, you know, 9 months.
Does it scare you when you read stories about how Alexa is being integrated into banking? Hey, Alexa, give me my bank statement, or hey, Alexa, pay this bill today. Is that something that all banks need to start thinking about, or do you think that's going to be unique to Amazon?
They have to think about it. Now, does it scare me? It's all about the firewalls that you put up. So, and we talk about that. I know a lot on the show. Is that's the scary part, is what firewalls do you have on the protection? But it's something that tomorrow's consumer want. They want that real time. They want it all centralized. They want everything to be talking to each other so that it can be as simple as you just said, where you call out and I want this balance, but I want it to talk to a lot of different sources.
Mm-hmm. It's sometimes referred to as a unified omni-channel experience. That's the fancy way of saying having all those different things in place. But when you have a omni-channel experience, there are many more channels where security could be at risk too, right?
Right. I mean, the more that, and that's the key, is what's the security? The consumer, right, doesn't care. And so it's up to the financial side of things to make sure that it's a safe piece and everything's talking. The other fancy word besides the omnichannel is, you know, API, application programming interface, you know, and that's the fancy way for saying we want all of these things to communicate and talk to each other. It's something that we have to look at in the financial institution side, because if it's something that the client wants and can be built, then eventually it'll happen.
You know, you come into the banking industry and you have a set level of skills, and here we are talking about all this stuff. How do you do it every day? Because you really have to sort of learning all this new stuff as you go, don't you?
Yeah, you have to be flexible. You have to say that every day I have to learn a little bit more, and you can never learn too much. It's really just being adjusting to your client base, mm-hmm. on what's out there. What you can't be stuck in the, you know, in the 80s or 90s on how things go. Otherwise, progress is going to move right behind you, right beside you.
Do you have high hopes for the coming year, 2019? I know there are questions about where the economy might go and other things, but do you think this is going to be a good year?
Well, since it's the first or second week of January, I always have high hopes.
Right.
And it's an interesting dynamic right now on what is going to happen with the economy. You know, if you listen to the economists, are we on the brink? Are we not on the brink? If you look at the numbers and you look at jobs, 1 month it's great, 1 month it's behind. Right. We all wish we had that crystal ball, but I still have high hopes. I think that it will be a interesting year for, you know, businesses to continue to innovate and find the way to grow, especially the small businesses. I think that's where the, you know, if I have any kind of an angst, is how do the small businesses continue to compete? Just like when we talk about banks, how do the small banks continue to compete? And they can do it, and we can do it, but, you know, that will be the challenge, is competing with everything we just talked about, the technology and the spend.
Rod, I always enjoy our conversations. What if somebody listening out there wants to get in touch with you and talk to you personally?
Sure thing. So my phone number anytime is 312-544-4515, or an email is rodney.murray@associatedbank.com.
All right, Rodney, we'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Rod Murray is the Chicago Market President at Associated Bank. It's our thought leader conversation. Remember, you can listen to our past conversations at WGN Radio on the Opening Bell page and follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter. Head over to associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership to learn more about our thought leaders and hear more conversations there as well.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everybody. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Thursday edition of the Opening Bell. Amazon is reportedly testing a pilot program that lets big companies send free samples to customers, all based on what the retail giant already knows customers like to buy. Free samples could turn into new targeted ads for Amazon as it plays to try to become the trusted delivery service of everyday goods. We thought we'd talk a little bit about this and how customer service is one of the hot new trends in brand building with Nicole Ertis, who's the Free Range Brands author, the founder and president of Free Range Brands, as a matter of fact, the global brand consultancy, and a friend of our program. Nicole, good morning, and welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Thanks, Steve. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. I bring up this Amazon thing because this was sort of a personal... I was involved in this a little bit before the holidays. Just real quickly, I was having a peanut butter sandwich, and the Amazon guy came to the door. And while I was ringing the buzzer to let him in, my dog scarfed down the peanut butter sandwich that I was eating. And so I just put out a little tweet about it, and I didn't tag Amazon at all. I did mention Amazon, but I just said, you know, Amazon at the door was just the distraction my dog needed. While I'm there, he's eating the peanut butter sandwich. The whole thing transpired in about 90 seconds. Looks like we both got our special delivery. Well, I was surprised within just a matter of minutes, somebody from Amazon had tweeted back at me and said that it was not a conspiracy with the dog. And lo and behold, the next day I received a giant order of free stuff, including peanut butter and jelly and dog treats and dog toys. And I thought, wow, that's some real guerrilla social media marketing.
No kidding. That's fantastic. Well, I mean, what we see and what we're going to continue to see is that customer service is no longer the black hole of consumer complaints. It's a real opportunity for brands and companies to create great experiences with their consumers.
Yeah, and you there's a really cool blog post that you talk about this, and it's not just customer service, but proactive customer service, where they can almost, I don't want to say, have some sort of, you know, future knowledge of what you might want to call them about, but that's, how would you describe that?
Well, you know what, no matter what business you're in anymore, you need to move at the speed of technology, and you need to use technology to understand your customers. So this is a great opportunity for companies that aren't tech-related, even beyond Amazon, to use technology to better connect with their customers, because the smart brands are really looking for opportunities to connect, and customer service serves that up on a platter. So I say customer service, and it sounds like a very outdated term, but it's really a great way to bring that experience to your customers.
And I know I use the Amazon example here. I'm not sure that Amazon, you probably don't consider that one of your free-range brands. Remind us again what a free-range brand is and why something like this proactive customer service is a cool thing for them.
Well, at a very high level, a free-range brand is a brand that can find success in a complex marketplace and in uncharted territory. So when we're thinking about the marketplace today, everything is changing so fast. And the brands that used to try to plan and control everything, some of the bigger legacy brands, are really struggling, where the smaller brands or even the big brands now are finding ways to bring opportunities to life on the fly. So, you know, what you experienced is something that Amazon taps into, but, you know, it doesn't even have to be that big. Harvard Business Review recently did an in-depth study on this and found that customers who received a response to their post, just a response to anything that they posted, were more likely to remain a customer, spend more money on that brand in the future, and continue to recommend it to others.
Nicole, I'm kind of curious what goes into that. How much work behind the scenes has to happen at one of these free-range brands? Because you have to be watching. I mean, I'm guessing Amazon uses some sort of algorithm or something, but that's probably not the case for smaller companies.
No, and there are a lot of third-party services that people can participate in and buy into that will track that for them. But the key isn't just getting that information that something posted, but being responsive. In fact, they found in the study that speed is really critical. You know, whether it's a 5-minute reply versus 20 minutes or the next day, the value that the brand gets back for that really starts to decline pretty quickly. And, you know, I also want to mention that, you know, a brand or a company doesn't even have to respond with what the type of response that you got. Even just showing empathy to a negative post had similar results, or saying thank you to a positive result, I mean, to a positive post, showed that people were willing to pay more for those brands.
You write in your blog post, this is about humanizing the brand, putting people front and center. I remember way back when you would write to a company and complain about something that happened, and they would send you a free sample or some coupons. It's sort of like that, but a little bit on steroids, isn't it?
Right, totally. Yeah. And it's really about getting companies to be, you know, there's this big movement now around agile. How can you get that information quickly, and how can you respond quickly? And this goes deeper than just having a marketing strategy or even a customer service strategy. It really goes into how your organization is structured and how you're able to activate on that information quickly, because a lot of the larger companies aren't even set up, or even older companies aren't really even set up to respond so quickly, even if they're able to get the information quickly.
Yeah, I know. We see some big-time examples of that, where a couple of airlines had problems, and it was, you know, days before they really responded, more like crisis management than customer service.
Right.
And so that's kind of a big deal. Is this going to be the trend for the year, one of the big trends for the year? Do you think this more proactive customer service, or what would you say is going to be on the list of things for brands to be watching out for this year?
I think it's a part of what we'll be seeing this year and continue to see that we've seen. It's all about brand experience, because people want to have, like you said, a more human connection to a brand. And social media allows brands to really try to humanize themselves to connect with customers. That's the real differentiator. And this idea of responding to posts, or even just signing a name in a response to a post, has a big difference. It doesn't have to be something significant and huge that a lot of smaller companies don't have the resources for. But the idea of finding entry points and connection points to bring your brand experience through is really what we're going to be seeing in across all sorts of categories.
You know, and on the consumer side of this, don't hesitate to say something. If something is not to your satisfaction, or you
That's
have
right.
some sort of comment, this is a good example of why say something, you might get a response, or you will get a response.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. If the companies are doing their job right, they will get a response, and they should. It's a great opportunity to respond.
Nicole, I know we've talked before about the free range brands, and there's a list of them that you kind of have a highlight of some of them. Any new ones that we should know about? Any great stories that you've come across over the last 6 months or so of free range brands doing really good stuff?
Well, we are actually starting to capture all of that. You know, one of the brands that we're looking at, and ultimately, let me just say that we're capturing a lot of success stories right now, and it's kind of coming together in a new book, and that book is going to be released later this year, and it's called One Up. And what we're looking for are brands that are really creating not just tactical, creative, you know, clutter, which we've had an abundance of, but real competitive advantages. And so we're highlighting those stories, and we're inviting brand leaders in Chicago to participate in that. So, for example, these competitive advantages could come anywhere, not just in a better product, but like we just talked about, in customer service, or in partnerships or in company culture or org structure? How are companies changing to be able to respond quickly? So we'd like to invite any business leaders who are finding ways to create real competitive advantage in unexpected ways to consider being featured in the book. And so I'll reserve that question for what we're going to be revealing down the road. But I think it's less about creating a marketing gimmick now, and it's more about real competitive advantage.
Yeah, and that genuine feel, too. People, I think, can smell a gimmick a mile away.
Yeah. I think, you know, in the last couple of years, it's been really fun and exciting to see how brands have used technology to be really clever, but now it's on overload.
All right. Nicole, always good chatting with you. All the best in 2019 to you and everybody at Free Range Brands.
Thank you. Likewise.
All right. Nicole Ertis, the founder and president of Free Range Brands. You can follow her on Twitter at Free Range Brands and find her online as well at freerangebrands.com.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward opening losses on Wall Street a little bit later this morning. Dow futures are off more than 100 points this morning and implied to open negative 132. S&P futures are off about 0.5% this morning. NASDAQ futures off more than 0.5%. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. In the marketplace yesterday in the grain trade at the Chicago Board of Trade, soybean futures rebounded and posted gains for the fifth session out of the last six, basically because of the positive talk coming out of the China-U.S. trade talks. China said it will accelerate its purchases of U.S. agricultural products following 3 days of trade talks in Beijing. Corn also firmed as traders anticipated the grain would be among the goods next on the shopping list for China. And wheat rose for a fifth straight session in yesterday's trade. So at the end, the March wheat contract was up 1.75 cents, March corn up 2 cents a bushel, and the January soybean contract ended up 6.25 cents a bushel. Livestock trade, Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday. Lean hog futures rose 2% to their highest level in more than 3 weeks, but cattle futures were weaker, pressured by profit-taking after the front month February live cattle contract hit an all-time high earlier this week on Tuesday. So at the end of the day yesterday, the lean hog contract was up $1.72 a hundredweight, February live cattle contract up 47, and the January feeder cattle contract up 82 cents a hundredweight. The story out of the White House yesterday, the president nominated acting EPA chief Andrew Wheeler to run the Environmental Protection Agency permanently. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Thursday, January 10th. The weekly report on first-time claims for unemployment benefits leads off the economic reports today. Analysts expect to see the 224,000 Americans filed initial claims for unemployment last week. The weekly jobless report due out midday. We'll also get a report of wholesale trade. The EIA natural gas report is due out, a report on the Fed balance sheet, and money supply due as well. Lots of Fed speakers out there today, including the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. Speech at midday. Chicago Fed President Charles Evans also out and about today. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday, January the 10th.